Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgetty Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show today Bobby and Robbie from the SQA, and we're going to be looking at the suite of computing qualifications and various associated topics around that. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Could we start off with Bobby first, and then Robbie? Could you just give us a brief background to your careers?
Sure, David. I taught in schools and colleges for over 20 years before coming to SQA in 2000, when I've been in charge of school and college qualifications. I'm currently in charge of college and training centre awards.
I've came out of university, having studied history, and moved into a role in SQA, and I've had various roles within SQA over the past 15 years. I was previously qualifications officer for computing and information systems for several years, and then I moved on to a role where I was coordinating external assessment activity across all subject areas. And just recently, at the turn of the year there, I've moved into the role of qualifications manager for computing science and environmental science within the national qualifications portfolio.
Thanks very much, and this is a pre-recorded show, so if you have a comment or a question for Bobby or Robbie, well, I know that these days SQ are very easily contactable online, and of course you guys have got your excellent, well-regarded blog or blogs, but if you want to get in touch with the show directly, we can pass on your comments and questions, so just get in touch through the usual channels. But first of all, guys, could you just give us a flavour of the kind of recent developments across the SQA computing qualifications with regard to what's available to schools and colleges, etc.
Okay, David, you probably know about the cybersecurity qualifications that were introduced a couple of years ago. They've been really successful in schools. There's currently around 600 pupils doing the NPAs in cybersecurity in schools across Scotland, and I suspect that will rise again next year. So cybersecurity has really taken off across the country. Computer games development's been around a wee bit longer. I think it was introduced about 5 years ago, and there are 2,000 pupils doing the NPAs in computer games across Scotland. So those two awards in particular have been very popular. But you know, PC Passport, Digital Passport, the NPA software development, they're perennials, perennially popular in schools. And in the college sector, no surprises, the HNC Computing is the most popular award. But we introduced HND Computer Science 5 years ago, and that's turned out to be very popular too. One other thing I should mention, when I was preparing for the show actually and looking at some figures, I noticed how popular the HND in software development is in colleges. That's now my most popular HND out of the five in computing that I offer, and I suspect that reflects the demands for coding skills in employment.
Obviously, from the national qualifications perspective, you know, over the last several years, we've been introducing the new qualifications in line with curriculum for excellence. So we've got the national three to advanced higher qualifications there, and you know, national three to five, part of that general qualifications family of national qualifications to build core knowledge, skills, competencies, then of the learners, to then potentially move on to higher, advanced higher, where there's, you know, further development of the skills, competencies, you know, looking at progression to perhaps university, college or employment, or perhaps into to some of the more specialist areas of Bobby's courses. So that's obviously been the big development over the last few years, and you know, where we find ourselves now, we are in the process of revisions to assessment of those courses, and of course that's an ongoing process over the coming couple of years.
You've kind of touched on what's proven popular with learners, centres, and kind of particularly interesting, maybe some more information on that or some more data, and also what's proven popular with the various sectors of industry, and then can you tell us a bit about the kind of trends and how ASQE is managing to work with global and national trends?
Sure. The big demand just now in industry and employment, again, no surprise to anyone, is coding, is programming. There's a real skills shortage in coding. Other skill areas would be data analytics. I have to say, a long way behind programming. I mean, I think if young people want a career in the computing industry, the chances are they'll begin as computer programmers. But nonetheless, data analytics is growing and likely to continue to grow a great deal during the next 10 years. Consultancy skills, not for young people. They tend to be experienced IT people who go into consultancy. But that's the biggest employment sector in Scotland, in computing, is the consultancy sector. It's even bigger than coding, although some of those consultants will, of course, be programmers. That's not very relevant for young people, I wouldn't say. But programming certainly is. Longer term, businesses are beginning to look at AI. Again, not tomorrow, not round the corner, and again, not something I would probably suggest a young person's likely to find immediate employment in. But AI is on the horizon as well, and cybersecurity. I nearly forgot that one. There's a real skills shortage in that area coming up. In fact, it's here now. By way of preparing for this interview, I read a Scottish Government report just out. I'll give you the name, it's in my hand. Scotland's Digital Technologies Research and Analysis Report, published in July this month. When I was preparing for today, I had a look through that, and I noticed that 19% of Scottish businesses have no plans at all for what to do if they are the subject of a cyber attack. Something like another 35% had limited plans. So there's a likely to be a chronic shortage of cyber security specialists in the coming years. So those are the big trends, but the bread and butter jobs are in software development.
Robbie, would you have anything to add to that in terms of what's happening in schools?
I think when we talk about what's happening in schools, that's where the lines between myself and Bobby's portfolios are perhaps slightly blurred, in that. Some of the qualifications within Bobby's portfolios are widely available within schools. So Bobby's obviously got the NPAs in cybersecurity and the likes, whereas predominantly when we're talking about schools, I'm talking about the national qualifications, more general qualifications, and more kind of providing those building blocks for learners to perhaps to move on to those more specialist areas. So I think Bobby can maybe say more about uptake of national progression awards and the likes within schools, because we're not aligned schools colleges. I think traditionally that's the way it's been, but there's more of a crossover between some of the more vocational qualifications within Bobby's portfolio.
I think that's a real modern trend, Robbie, that kids are increasingly mixing traditional qualifications like higher computing science with an NPA in cybersecurity. That didn't happen 10 years ago. The other thing I detect is that more academic pupils are doing vocational qualifications than in the past. A very common story I'm told when I ask a school teacher who's doing the NPA. It used to be 10 years ago, kids who were looking for going on to college, But nowadays, it's just as likely to be a high flying high school putting the sixth year kids who then go on to university to do computing science are doing one of my NPAs. So that's a really big change in the last 10 years, where vocational qualifications in schools have been sort of repitched at a different cohort. Although the original cohort's still there. I mean, the kids who want to go into employment, go into college, they still do NPAs and NCs and the likes. But I do detect a change in some of the young people who do my awards.
And I know from own experience as a classroom teacher, I've always found PC Passport and Internet Safety to be popular and accessible. And sometimes in the sector that I'm working within, teachers are having to sort of teach in areas that they're possibly not too experienced, and they found it being able to get their teeth into those kind of qualifications. And interested as well with the internet safety about when that particular qualification would be delivered, and that the whole kind of debate there about wanting to deliver it earlier on in a secondary school curriculum because of the kind of pressing need to actually get the knowledge and skills across. So can you say a bit about how these two courses are developing, and then take us through any other qualifications, some of which you might have touched on already, that you think that schools might wish to consider introducing?
Yeah, the poor PC passports sort of been lost under the spotlight being put on cybersecurity and computer games and the like, but PC Passport and Internet Safety are, as you say, David, really bread and butter computing qualifications that are as relevant now as they were in their heyday. I say that because PC Passport's figures uptake is much smaller than it was 10 years ago. I think that reflects the change in interest and the change in demands for skills in ICT. Really right across the board, ICT has declined and computing science has risen, along with related areas like cybersecurity and digital media. Nonetheless, we did refresh PC Passport last year, a major refresh. It's really, really up to date, and I'm not just saying that. It really is up to date. It focuses on collaboration skills and really the modern aspects of Office 2016. There's a major update, and I would say have a look at PC Passport 2016 if you haven't looked recently. That will eventually replace the PC Passport 2007, as I call it, in the next couple of years, but the refresh has really brought it up to date, I think, and I think it's made it an interesting qualification again. It sure isn't just about word processing spreadsheets and PowerPoint. There's much more to it than that. The other one that really, really does get neglected is Digital Passport, which was introduced a couple of years, 3 years ago now. That's the sort of cousin of PC Passport, but it's even more up-to-date, I would argue. I read an article a few months ago about, I think an MSP said, we need to teach kids about fake news in schools, and I almost shouted down the radio, well, Digital Passport teaches fake news, and it genuinely does. One of the component units is information literacy and critical thinking skills. So, again, that's a qualification that's not got a particularly good uptake, but it's very contemporary. It teaches a range of really essential 21st century skills, like critical thinking, that I would suggest schools have a good look at. And the other one, bread and butter again, been around for a while, Internet Safety. That's a single unit, but we have turned it into a group award because although it's only one unit, completing students will get a commemorative certificate to say that they've completed Internet Safety. That was also refreshed last year with new teaching and learning material. That's a pick up and go curriculum. We provide everything, the syllabus, the teaching and learning material, and the assessments are all available now online. And it's been refreshed, so it's right up to date with ransomware and sextortion and all the recent threats that are in the media. And I would say it's a really essential and interesting little course that schools and colleges should think about.
So, what other developments can we expect soon?
Well, it won't surprise you to know that cybersecurity is being further developed. First piece of really good news for schools in particular is that we've been given significant funding from Scottish Government to develop teaching and learning material for the MPAs in cybersecurity. Those really good numbers, 600 pupils, as I said, currently doing it, likely to grow to about 1,000 in the coming year, I think. One of the main brakes on uptake has been lack of teaching and learning material for teachers. It was your point, David, about computing teachers finding it hard at times to keep up to date with their own skills. And I've had literally dozens of emails from schools to say I'd love to do the MPA cybersecurity, Bobby, but I don't have the knowledge and skills. And your teaching materials or the support materials, such as they are, aren't enough. Good news, they will be enough. We have got a fair chunk of money to develop teaching and learning material for that award. And again, that should be a pick up and go curriculum package this time next year. The money is good enough that the material should be not just there and covering what you need to know, but hopefully highly attractive and engaging for learners. So that's a piece of good news. On the qualification development side, also cybersecurity, we have been given more Scottish Government money to develop a brand new HNC in cybersecurity and an HND in cybersecurity and a professional development award in cybersecurity. That's fantastic because there's nothing like that currently in colleges. So we'll be developing the HNC in the current year, available next year, the HND the following year, available 2019, and the PDA in for 2020. So that's a very exciting development for us, but also refreshing the HND in computer science. I know it's a wee bit confusing, computing science and higher and computer science in most of the rest of the world, Robbie, as I've pointed out. But the HND is HND Computer Science, and it's being refreshed, and that's proven to be very popular in colleges as well. And a whole bunch of other developments, the NPA Digital Media, pretty popular in schools. That's being refreshed. Let me see, that's actually Colin Lamont from Clydeview High School is refreshing the NPA Digital Media. Liam Stewart from Leavenmouth Academy is leading the review of the NPA in web design. So there's just lots. The sector's, as you know, so changeable. We do spend a great deal of time in keeping the portfolio up to date, and we have to do that. But I have to say it's the most interesting part of my job anyway, so I enjoy that. So lots of developments, David.
Touched on there, the people who are leading, they're obviously working in schools, full time or part time at the same time, refreshing qualifications. So is that how a lot of the work is done, Bobby? Or what other organisations or who else within the education community actually assist with these developments, which obviously go way beyond just the other changes that we're wrestling with the National 4 and National 5?
First of all, I don't think people fully understand how qualifications are developed. They are not developed by SQA. We manage and control the development from a financial perspective, but Scotland's pretty unique. We don't have qualification specialists or consultants who we pay a lot of money to develop qualifications. We genuinely are unique, I think, in the way that we use practicing teachers and lecturers. Colin and Liam are a case in point. They're ordinary teachers They lead a qualification development team who are also composed of ordinary teachers. And it's that group that develop the qualifications. Obviously, me and Robbie have to be there. We have to make sure that there are certain rules followed, but we don't decide what goes into qualifications. That's very much for you guys. We're guided by various bodies. Some of them are our own, some are external, but we have a sector panel in computing, and the sector panel provides us with strategic guidance around things like, you know, what's happening outside. On the computing sector panel, we've got representatives of Microsoft, Oracle, Strathclyde Uni, British Computer Society, Scotland IS, and I'm always very keen that ordinary teachers and lecturers are represented as well. So that's the sector panel, and that makes sure that, you know, trends like AI and big data don't go unnoticed by me. But I would emphasise, David, that qualifications are developed, written, vetted, and ultimately checked by practising teachers and lecturers. It's very much a collaborative approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I do think sometimes people think, you know, me and Robbie devised the new qualification in computing, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of national qualifications at the moment, I've got two subject implementation managers, one of whom, Raymond Simpson, previously a teacher, and Greg Reid, who have got seconded from his teaching role, and they're taking a lead on the work around national qualifications at the moment. And again, as Bobby says, it's working with groups of teachers. Some of them are senior appointees who are, you know, teachers who we have appointed to take on principal assessor roles within national qualifications, i.e. overseeing the development of assessments and the external marking of those assessments. And similar to Bobby's groups, we've also got a national qualifications support team, which is an advisory group, and it's made up very much of practising teachers. We do have representation from FE and HE. Probably the difference between Bobby's groups there is that we don't have such a strong industry and employer representation there. And we're also trying to work more closely with Computing at Schools Scotland, so we've got representation from them on the NQST, and we're working with them to see how we can ensure that their views are well represented within the NQST. So very, very similar approach, and it's a collaborative approach. We're working with teachers, and we're always welcome to teachers getting in touch and you know, volunteering their services to join these groups. You know,
yeah,
we obviously
absolutely.
Need to ensure that there's a good balance across the country of different sectors, different specialities. But we are always looking to get new people on board, and, you know, the people that do sit on these groups, it's not a job for life. We're looking to refresh these groups on an ongoing basis.
But that's something I would repeat, Robbie, that I think a lot of ordinary teachers think, you know, well, if I volunteer to help, they'll never pick me because I've not taught for 300 years and I'm not a principal teacher. And nothing could be further from the truth. Obviously, we need the very experienced teacher. They are invaluable. But we also look for new blood. So, you know, if any of your listeners are inexperienced but want to get involved, get involved. We will use you in some capacity. So, you know, it's not the pre-retirement principal teacher that we employ all the time. There's a place for that person for sure, but, you know, we like new blood, so please come forward.
And just finally, you know, teachers in this particular area will have their own existing networks, and within their schools they'll have their own sort of processes for disseminating sort of key information around the computing qualifications. But in terms of your the own networks that you're involved in and that people could access, and in terms of the public-facing SQE websites, could you just leave us with a couple of the kind of, in your experience, the best places to go to share and to get key information?
Well, first of all, my blog, that, you know, really would advocate that your listeners check the SQA Computing blog. You can see my blog, it's for the entire team. And that's blogs.sqa.org.uk/computing. So, you know, that's a really important source of information. We're also on Twitter. SQA Computing is the handle there. SQA Computing, that was. And currently 800 followers and growing. So, again, that's an easy way to keep up to date with what we're doing. And we have a mailbox, computing@sqa.org.uk. So, again, anything, if you can't remember my name and Robbie's name or whatever, please just drop an email to computing@sqa.org.uk to get in touch with us.
I'd just like to thank Bobby and Robbie for taking time out today to appear on Radio EduTalk. Guys, it's been really interesting to hear about all the developments and the openness and the invitation to folk to get involved. Is I'm sure will be greatly appreciated. So thank you very much and best wishes for the future.
Thank you.